morning. Wonderful to see everybody gathered together for a very special morning of worship as the church, as we celebrate our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a very special way, looking at the Lord's Supper together this morning. As we do so, I want you to take note in your bulletin that we have a little different order of things. Following the call to worship, we will have the children come down right after the call to worship, and which we will move into communion following that. So if everybody could follow along, it will go smoothly together this morning. And let us remember what Mary Magdalene and the other Mary found 3 days after Jesus died on the cross on their way to the tomb. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." As we celebrate that miracle, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, we praise your name and thank you so much for showing us new life through your Son, Jesus Christ, as he defeated death. Guide us this morning as we remember that and the new life that it is to bring us this coming week. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
ask the children to come down at this time while Gary and I will move the cover from the communion table. Wonderful to see so many children come down. I want to make sure you can all see me because I have something extra special to show you this morning. But we'll get to that in just a moment. Excited you're here because, like I said, it is a special day of worship as we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But before we get to that, I have something a little different. I want you to look at this math equation. And you're probably wondering, I'm never coming back because we're studying math. I can't believe this in church. But I promise you, I'm not going to ask you to study the math equation too hard. There's a point behind it. You see how difficult this may be? There's a lot going on here, right? Well, it's a really hard math equation for most of us. And you may not know how to do it right now, but if I was to tell you this is very important to learn, and it's very important for you to know how to do it, I bet you could. And I know you could do it if you studied it long enough, if you practiced it, right? If you did that again and again and you studied some more and you practiced it some more, I bet you would remember how to do it. Well, this morning we are going to remember something very important that Jesus told us to study and practice again and again as the church. And we're going to read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. And it's very special and important that we hear what Jesus told his disciples to do, because we're about to do that exact same thing as a church. Listen to what is said. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Soon, you will see everybody get a little piece of bread and a cup. And if you heard in the story, the bread represents Jesus' body. And the cup represents Jesus' blood. And they're not actually Jesus' body and blood. But what Jesus was reminding his disciples and teaching them was, the very next day, he was about to die on the cross for everyone's sins. And that sacrifice is something we need to remember and tell other people. So Jesus gave us this way to remember that and to tell other people. So when we eat the bread and we take the cup as Christians, we're remembering his sacrifice, and the Bible says we're also telling other people about Jesus at the very same time. So it's a very special Sunday for us to know about this. Hopefully you've had some time to talk about this with your family. If not, today would be a good day to ask your parents what this means and why we do this as a church, just like we talked about. So let's pray about that now, okay? God, thank you so much for your son's sacrifice, for him dying on the cross so we can have a new life because our sins are forgiven when we believe in him and ask him to forgive our sins. Lord, we pray we remember that this week. Amen. All right. It's good to see
you. As our children are returning to their seats, our diaconate will come forth to share communion. We share open communion here at Flat Springs, which means we invite all baptized believers to join us at the Lord's table.
As we just heard it said, the night before Jesus was betrayed, he had a supper, a meal with his disciples. He took bread, and this is what was said. When he had given thanks, after taking the bread, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. God, we come before you, humbly thanking you for your sacrifice, your broken body that gives us new life. Amen. take and eat.
And it said on the same night that our Lord took the cup, and after he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my blood, and I shed it for you." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as the blood courses through our veins, keeping our bodies alive, we are mindful of the significance of blood. And as we think of the sacrifices that were offered in ancient times to appease our sin by offering the blood of animals, we are mindful that when Jesus from the cross prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," that his blood cleanseth us from our sins. May we remember as we hold the cup in our hands. In Jesus' name. the blood of Christ. Take and drink. Paul tells us, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Continue worshiping as we sing hymn number 138. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Pray. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this Sunday after a few days of adverse weather. Lord, be with the sick and the needy and those that have a need, Lord, that no one knows. And bless this offering for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Gail and Regina. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see our prayer concerns. I would like to share one concern. Eric Cannell, that Kurt Cannell's father, passed away. Eric Cannell, we want to be remembering this family in a very special way. And you see over in our ongoing list the name of Lenore Seagroves. They have called in hospice. She has been hospitalized a couple of times this week. We want to be remembering Lenore in a very special way as well. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we have gathered in this place because of you. We want to hear from you. We want to praise you. We want to sing to you. We want to share our love for you. We want to experience your presence and allow you to strengthen us, to challenge us, to chastise us. We want you to direct our lives. We want you to hear our prayers as we lift up the names of these who have special needs. And we want you to hear us as we ask for comfort and healing. We want to be with brothers and sisters in Christ that we might gain strength and encourage one another. All of this because we remember your broken body and your shed blood. And we have come this day to worship you. Receive our worship in Jesus' name. Amen. fairer Lord Jesus. Thank you, choir. Well done. Well done. If you have your Bibles, open with me to Genesis. We're beginning the change now from the stories that Jesus told, those life-changing stories, to life-changing events recorded in Scripture. And we're going to begin with, I guess, one of the most significant and one of my favorite passages, if not my most favorite passage in all the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read the first 9 verses. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward Negev. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most precious and his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you speak to us for a moment or two this morning about our walk with you, about a call of faith, call to go to a different place, to live in a different way, to see with different eyes and hear with different ears and experience life through the shed blood and the broken body of our Lord and Savior. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You got to go to a new place. You remember playing Monopoly? Getting the card that says, "Go to Boardwalk." Unless somebody had hotels on it, it was a good card, right? Or Pass Go. You got to go to a new place. The place that this short little story, with very little commentary, just all matter of fact, God speaks. He gives Abram a command. He tells him to do something that seems almost impossible. And Abram does. What a statement of faith. Faith is easy when we have sight. Going is okay when we understand all the details, when the GPS and the map coincide. But what about when we're called to go and all we have is the call to go? That faith issue. I love the old funny story about the fellow that was walking by the trail and he slipped and he fell, and as he was falling, he reached out and was able to grab a branch. And there he hung, just holding on to the branch suspended with several hundred feet below him, and no way to pull himself up. All he could do was hold on. And so in the midst of his predicament, he began to pray, "Lord, I need some help." And believe it or not, a voice from heaven came and said, "My son, I'm here. I'll help you." Wonderful Father, what do I need to do? Turn loose of the branch. There he dangles, several hundred feet. He looks below him. He looks above him. "What, Lord?" "I will help you. Turn loose of the branch." To which he asks, "Is there anybody else up there I could talk to?" What do you do when God tells you to do something that doesn't make sense? Turn loose of the branch? "That's all I've got is the branch. I can't turn loose." I wonder what we brought to worship today we can't turn loose of. A simple word. And the Lord said to Abram, "Go." You could just about end it there. And the Lord said, "Go." I don't know about you, but I know about me. I'd say, "Where, Lord? How long is it going to take to get there? What is it going to look like on the way? How long can I expect to be in the wilderness? And how long before I get to the first village? And what about the people that are..." I mean, I'd have some questions, wouldn't you? I believe we would. I believe we have questions about how to live this week, whether by faith or by our sight. Going with God often means leaving what is comfortable. You've heard that expression, haven't you? "Make yourself at home." We all love to hear that. Come and just make yourself at home. When I went this past a couple weeks ago to Beaufort, one of the members literally turned their house. They live in two places, and they were in the other place. They turned their house over to us, and they told us to make ourselves at home. Isn't that wonderful? Well, sometimes you can make yourself at home in the wrong place. Sometimes we can't be as useful to God as we need to be because we've become comfortable in the wrong place. Now, the land of Ur is the old King James. Haran is, as this translation talks about it. It was a good place. It was an okay place. There was nothing wrong. Abram had been raised here. This was his home. He can remember the first time he went hunting. He can remember the first time he brought water back from the well. He knows this place. He's familiar with it. It's home. And God says, "Go. Go. Go to a different place." And I love, he says, "Go from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house." Where? "To a land that I will show you." I will show you. Not going to show you now. First, you got to go. You got to go. Sometimes if we get in the wrong place, we can make the wrong stand. You remember in the 60s that George Wallace, the governor of Alabama and presidential candidate on several occasions, four times, was the leader in the segregationist movement. He fought civil rights day and night. He stood on the doorsteps of the University of Alabama and refused to allow two African-American students entrance. One of his most famous statements is, "I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever." But in the late 70s, George Wallace became a Christian. And he apologized to the black civil rights leaders of his day. He made many trips to many churches. He went to the march on an anniversary of the March of Montgomery. And he apologized for giving the word to sick the dogs on those protesters. And an interesting thing history will note about George Wallace. During his final term as governor from 1983 to 1987, He made a record number of African-American appointments to state positions, including the first time that there were two African-American members in his cabinet. And that number has been equaled but has never been surpassed. You can become comfortable in the wrong place. It takes a hard, hard look at yourself to make some big changes. I wonder today if there's some of us here who need to make a big change. A big change in how we're doing life and how we're comfortable at home. I wonder. You can't walk by faith with God if only we walk by sight. It takes a tremendous amount of faith, more faith than I always can muster. Sometimes I wished I could tell you that every time I've heard God call, I've just gotten up and gone. That wouldn't be true. I've struggled. I bet you have too. So where is God calling you to go? Me to go? Or another way to say it is, what's God calling us to leave? What do we need to leave behind? Are there some things that if we were to change, it might change the way we live our life, the way we do our family, the way we do our church, the way we do our community? That's the life-changing power of God. Can He change us? The second part of that, first is to go, and then He says, I will show you. Going with God often means not having all of the same information or all the information that we need. God is about showing us one step at a time. Don't you wish He'd show you the big picture? Wow, if we had the big picture, we'd understand it all, right? We'd go perfectly. If we knew how it ended, we'd walk correctly all the way, would we? We know how it's going to end, don't we? We do. Let me give you an example. We know that our ultimate destiny is heaven. That's the big picture. We live down here, and God works on us that we'll fit up there, that we'll spend eternity with Him. We know the big picture. So why does God choose to simply say, walk today by faith, just today, and I'll show you tomorrow, It's a matter of trust, isn't it? I love the story. I've shared it with you before, several years ago, about a man who was traveling and he became lost in a very, very dry, arid desert place. And he came across an old shack, and there in the shack was a well, that old kind of well that you had to pump by handle. Some of you know those wells. You remember those wells? And there was a small jar, a quart jar of water. Boy, he was thirsty. He hadn't had anything to drink in a couple of days. And my goodness, wouldn't that water, even though it was hot, wouldn't it be good? But attached to the jar was a note. Here's what the note said. Pour all the water into the top of the pump to prime it. If you do this, you'll get all the water you need. You see those empty buckets and empty jars? But it'll take it all to prime the pump. There was this dilemma. A quart in the hand is worth more than a well that might be dry, or a well that might not take the, what if it didn't take the prime with just that one quart of water? What if that wasn't quite enough? What if he hadn't allowed for evaporation? What if it didn't work? And then I poured all that water, and I'm so thirsty. That's our dilemma, isn't it? Isn't that really what God's saying to us? Would you be willing to pour yourself out right now to me? I don't know, God. What about next week? There's some things going to happen next week, God, I'm not sure you know about. That doesn't even sound right coming off my lips, does it, to you? God, you may not understand what I'm going to be dealing with. And God, by the way, there's some things I'm just not ready to get rid of in my life. I'm not willing to give up some of these habits I've got, God. I'm not willing to change some things in my life. I've gotten comfortable where I am, God. And you're asking me to pour all of that into a pump, and I'm not sure it'll work. What if it doesn't work, God? What if it doesn't work? That's our question, really, isn't it? Isn't that what we're struggling with today? Do we pour ourselves by faith fully into God's plan? Well, the story goes on that this man poured all of the water in and primed the pump, and sure enough, it gave him all the water he wanted. He filled up bucket after bucket after bucket and had more than enough water. And then he was willing to add to his note, trust it, it'll work. That's what the world needs to hear from us. Trust it, it'll work. God's plan will work. If we go out this week and we live our life differently, it will work. God will take us places. He will put people in our lives that we can't even imagine. I had a chance to share my faith with a person I didn't know existed until a rock hit my windshield and a fellow had to come fix it for me. A divine appointment on a rainy day. Go with God. Pour it all. Pour it all. Not by sight, but by faith. Pour it all into the pump. That's what he told Abram to do. Get out of the land that you understand. Get out of the world that you know. Because that world will trap you and it will pull you back and you will quit walking by faith and you'll walk by what you know. Go with me. Go all the way with me. Go to a place and I'll show you step by step. And then he gives him glimpses. When he goes through the land of Canaan, one day I'm going to give that to your descendants. He gets a little further and he says, this is a place you'll be worshiping. And he builds the first altar at Bethel. God shows us as we go. As our faith is expressed, God shows us more and more. Oh, I love to walk by sight, but God calls me to the uncomfortable call of walking by faith. Go. And I'll show. And it'll lead to grow. Abram will become Abraham. Remember him? And Abraham would have a son. His name would be Isaac. And Isaac would have a son. His name would be Jacob. And Jacob would have 12 boys and they'd change his name when he started walking by faith instead of by sight to Israel. And God would establish a nation, a covenant. He'd give them that land in Canaan that he promised. And then one day, several thousand years later, a descendant of Father Abraham, a couple really, Mary and Joseph, have a boy. His name was Jesus. And Jesus would be the fulfillment of the promise that we just read in Genesis chapter 12. Go by faith, and I'll bless you. And all who bless you will be blessed, and all who curse you will be cursed. And through you, all the nations, all the world, will be blessed. For God so loved the world that he took Abraham's faith to go as God would show, and he would grow that into our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wonder how Jesus could grow in our life this week. You ever thought about that? I wonder how our faith could grow, our witness could grow, our boldness could grow. Our strength as a believer could grow. Our willingness to stand firm could grow. And I know. I figured it out. Go with God. by faith. Let God show you. Let God grow you. That's how. Just a moment, I'm going to offer an invitation. You see us? There we hang, holding on to a branch. And God says, let it go. Let it go. To a land I'll show you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, with this table before us, from which we have already dined, and held in our hands your broken body and your shed blood, you taught us faith. You taught us trust. You taught us love. You taught us to go as you showed. I don't know what you may be saying to this congregation right now, to individuals in this congregation, to moms and dads, to husbands and wives, to grandparents, to neighbors, to co-workers, to fellow school classmates. But, oh God, I hear you speaking. Say, go. And I'll show. And you can grow. Would we be brave enough, bold enough, strong enough, faithful enough to say, Lord, this week I'll go with you. I'll go in a different way, a different time, a different place. I'll go. You know our need. Hear us as we offer ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is 295, Near to the Heart of God. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him, would you do so as we stand together and sing? I wonder if anybody prayed for rain last week. If you did, I was going to brag on you because you did real good. I know that next Saturday we're going to have our picnic. We have a sign up here in our atrium, the connector between the two buildings, if you don't know what we mean when we say the atrium. And we just need to know you're welcome, and you're welcome to invite everybody in the world. Just tell us how many so we'll know how much food to fix. And that's the only reason we need the numbers. But everybody here, you're an invited guest. We'd love for you to come and be a part. We're going to start at 5:30. It's barbecue, isn't it, Bill? Is it going to be barbecue? And chicken. And so, and hot dogs. There you go. So if you want to come be a part of that, I don't think it's supposed to rain, knock on wood. But think it's supposed to be a pretty weather if the weather doesn't change. So please note that. Also, we've added out there in that same spot, if you're willing to decorate a trunk for Trunk or Treat, we're planning to do that again. Then there's a sign-up sheet out there. We just need to know as we know how to get folks lined up. And then next Sunday is our annual event. We'll be collecting the World Hunger Offering. You remember those banks, many of you that got those. And if you didn't get a bank, you certainly can bring an offering or just take one of the offering envelopes and designate it. Next Sunday is World Hunger Day. And we'll be collecting those offerings. The offering this year will be going to the United Christian Outreach Center. So you can give that. And they do a tremendous job of helping folks in this community with food and other needs. So that's what our hunger offering will do this year. So please note that as well. Please also read the bulletin and be involved as the Lord would give us opportunity. Thank you for being here today. I know it pleases God when His house is full. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place. We're ready to go. We ask You to show and help us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Serve the Lord.